I'm going to pray one more time as we begin to look at the word of the Lord. Father, we come to this portion in our service this morning as we open the word. I pray your Holy Spirit would be our teacher, that you would put your words in my mouth, not my words, your words, and that only the truth would be heard here today. And Father, that all of us in this room would somehow benefit from hearing your word and applying that word to our life. Lord, that you might be glorified in every way, and that we would take this word and go forth and use it, meditate on it, and allow you to work through us to reach others for Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen. You know, I'm always amazed at how God works. I found out by way of a text from Becky yesterday around noon or so, I don't remember what time it was, that Ken would not be here this morning, and could I speak? And I said yes, not having any idea what I was going to speak about, but yes, I'll do it. And so I get here this morning, and Becky came a little bit after I did and greeted me, and she uttered these words: "Be ready in season and out of season." Right? That's the title of my message. She didn't know that, and so. It gives me chills, quite frankly. And then this morning, as we're singing, and Ben has chosen the songs, and later on you'll see what I'm talking about, but we're singing that song about as the deer pants for the water brook. That's one of the scriptures that I'm using this morning. So God is in control of everything. We don't surprise him by anything that we do. He certainly surprises us. much to the delight of several people here this morning, the message will be probably a little bit shorter than normal. Maybe, maybe not. It's up to the Lord, you know, the leading of the Holy Spirit. You never know the direction that he may want us to go here. So what I've got down on paper, he may change it all. I want to launch the message this morning, starting in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. And eventually we'll read all the way through chapter 4, verse 5. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. You know, it's okay to write in your Bible, you know that? It's okay to underline, it's okay to highlight, it's okay to, you know, whatever markings you need to make. And the the very first word here is the word all. Underline it, circle it, highlight it, whatever. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. You hear what's being said here? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We're in Second Timothy, and a little history here. Paul is writing to Timothy with the full knowledge that his time, that is Paul's time, is drawing to a close. And he wants to make sure that his spiritual son is equipped to continue the ministry of God's word without him, without Paul. And so, in fact, that's what this letter to Timothy is all about, preparing Timothy for Paul's departure. Paul wanted to assure Timothy of his calling and of his ability. There was a calling on Timothy's life. It's a calling that Paul recognized over the years that he has known Timothy, and as he has kind of raised him up, and he recognized the calling. And Timothy was somewhat timid himself due to his young age. And Paul had been preparing him throughout his ministry as he demonstrated the proclamation of the word and how it should be taught. Paul's constant theme of this letter to Timothy is preach the word. Hear me? Preach the word. And in reality, that's our calling. Our calling is to preach the word. Now, that not everybody is going to stand in a pulpit and proclaim the word as a pastor in a church or as an elder or whatever. But you have the opportunity to declare the word of God everywhere you go as a witness. Paul greatly trusted Timothy in the work that he had started and was giving him more and more responsibility along the way. And Timothy probably didn't really understand that that's what Paul was doing, but Paul was preparing him. He was mentoring him during their relationship together on Paul's second missionary journey. So here, in this, his second letter to Timothy, Paul is reminding him and he's reminding us of the origin and the importance of God's word along with its purposes. So let's look again at verse 16. And this verse tells us first and foremost that all scripture is given to us by inspiration of God. Literally meaning that all scripture is God breathed. Okay? It comes forth from the mouth of God. Scripture is not what man thinks God may say. No. God, by the way of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, told the writers of Scripture what to put down on the page. And in this case, what to write in the scrolls. Folks, the author of the Bible is God Himself. Not man, God Himself. Turn with me to 2 Peter, towards the back of your Bible. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Starting in verse 21. It says, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." That's in the New King James. The New American Standard says it this way: "For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." In other words, men spoke the word as it came directly from God to them. God put His word in their mouths as they spoke it and wrote it down. Just imagine for a moment that you're one of these individuals that's receiving the word of God directly from Him. That you're hearing the thoughts of Almighty God as He gave instruction, or as He gives instruction. In essence, saying, "This is what I have to say to mankind." The Bible that you have in your lap is crammed full of nothing but words spoken by God. Think about it for a moment. The God of creation wants to communicate with His creation. We're it. We're high on the totem pole. Real high on the totem pole. I don't believe in totem poles. But anyway, we're up there. Okay? God wants to communicate with us. And he's doing that by inspiration of the Holy Spirit through the word that is written down so that we can hear what it is that he has to say. His hand-picked scribes heard directly from him that they may accurately write what he wanted us to know. And that's an awesome thought. There's things that God wants us to know. There's some things that are secret, but there's things that God wants us to know. Hold the word of God sacred. It's not just another book. Furthermore, Paul is saying that Scripture has a purpose beyond reading just the words that are inspired and written, but they are profitable. What does it mean to be profitable? You gain something from it. It's a profit to you. It's over and above what you might normally receive or hear or know. So, it's profitable to us. These words are profitable first for doctrine, and that's one of those words sometimes, you know, we don't really understand what that word means, but it's profitable for teaching. God wants us to benefit from his word through the teaching of it by holy, godly men and women. It's extremely important, though, that as we hear that word, as it's taught, as it's preached, that we know and understand that it is sound doctrine because it's the truth. The word of God is the truth, not a truth. It's the truth. And it's sound doctrine. It's also important for us as we hear and receive the teaching of God's word to know that what we're hearing is sound doctrine and we can take it to the bank. Furthermore, we can take it to the street. We can take it to our home. We can take it to our business. We can take it to our school. We can take it wherever God sends us, knowing that it's sound doctrine and we can use it to witness to other people about Jesus Christ. The scripture that you have in your hands or on your lap is not a philosophy of man. It is the truth of God. Secondly, as we continue in verse 16, we see that Scripture is given to us for reproof. Another one of those words, what does reproof mean? Well, what it means is it helps us to realize what is wrong in our lives. It's given to convict us of wrongdoing. It shows us that there is such a thing as sin. Did you know that? Such a thing as sin. And that sin, if not dealt with, is going to kill us. It's not just going to kill us physically, but spiritually. If we don't deal with sin in the manner required by God, sin will take us directly to hell. It's a word you don't hear much in churches these days, the word hell. Hell is a real place. Third, Scripture is given to us for correction. The purpose is to set things straight in our lives. Once we understand that we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God, the Lord knows that we need to set things straight in our life through repentance and through faith in Jesus Christ. For he alone is the one who has redeemed us by his grace and the shedding of his blood at the cross. God has not left us with no hope to die in sin, but has shown us in his word what is his gift through Jesus. Fourthly, all scripture is given for instruction in righteousness. God makes sure that through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that we know who he is and what he expects of us. Again, God does not leave us to our own devices so that we just keep failing over and over. But his word is full of knowledge of him and what it means to live a righteous life for him and before him, in front of him. It should be the desire of all believers, us included, to want to please God in every way. All scripture is there to instruct us in the way we should go. Scripture is useless to us if we do not desire to know it in such a way that we can constantly seek after it with everything that is in us. If we first have a heart after God, then we will want to know everything we can about him. And here comes that scripture, Psalm 42:1. As the deer pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after you. We need to be panting after the word of God. There needs to be a longing deep within our soul for God above everything else in our life. If we look back at verse 17, it reveals the overall reason Scripture is given, and it is this, that man, the man of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The question then becomes, do we who claim to be men and women of God truly desire to be complete in him and fully equipped to be about his business? I want you to be honest with yourself, and I want you to be honest before God. How much time are we willing to spend with the Lord? How much time are we willing to spend in the Word? How much time are we willing to spend in prayer? How much time are we willing to allow the Lord to speak to our heart? The knowledge of God's Word does not come by going to Bible college. That helps. Or taking some online Bible classes. No, it comes by first loving the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And then Luke goes on to say, to love your neighbor as yourself. Romans 12, verse 2, says this, and you can turn if you like. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, if we don't open our Bibles and we don't study the Word, we can't be transformed. There's nothing for the Holy Spirit to use. There's no seed there. It's not just knowledge that we should seek, but we need to desire to be transformed and renewed by the teaching and the study of the Word through the power of the Holy Spirit. Then and only then, will we be well on our way to being equipped by God to accomplish that which he desires through us? Oh, I've got a lot of time. It's only been 5 minutes. I'm going to take your excuses away. Okay? Because there are a lot of opportunities at Victor Christian Fellowship to get into the Word and to study it. I'm sorry, I'm going to step on some toes. Every week, there are opportunities to be well grounded in the Word through Bible study and prayer right here. The ladies have their own weekly Bible study on Monday nights at 7 p.m. And you were supposed to say something about that. Remind me at the end, please. Their time is also preceded, their Bible study is preceded by 30 minutes of prayer time. And all the ladies, how many ladies in the room? How many of you are ladies? How many of you identify as female today? Okay. You're all invited. All of you are invited, okay, to come to the ladies' Bible study. God knows my heart. Everyone, men and women, are invited to an in-depth Bible study here in this room on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Everybody. And the men have a time of fellowship, Bible teaching, and prayer on a Saturday morning once a month. There's really no excuse to say that I don't have an opportunity to get into God's Word. If for some reason, if your job prevents you from being here, or family responsibilities prevent you from being here, on that back table back there, it's full of books, Bible studies, all kinds of ways to get into God's Word. And they're free. Doesn't cost you a dime. There's a Bible reading program to read through the Bible in a year back on the back table. On Tuesday evening, every Tuesday night, we have a special time of prayer, and we do it. You don't have to leave your house. How easy. We can't make it much easier than this. To gather together to pray over the phone. Conference call. Thank you. I had that written down. I just want to make sure you knew. And Mary Ann is our facilitator for that time of prayer. Now that we've gotten to this point, I want to ask a question. How many here have a desire to serve the Lord and are willing to do what is necessary to fulfill that desire? How many people? Thank you. Many of you raised your hands just now. Are you really ready and willing to do what it takes? God is looking for those who are surrendered totally to Him. For there is much to be accomplished for the kingdom of God. You know, I hear people all the time, they say, I just don't have anything to offer the Lord in the way of ministry. Our president has a phrase that he uses quite often, that's fake news. Well, it is. It's fake news, and that fake news comes straight from the devil because he wants you to believe that there's nothing that you have to offer to the Lord. It's wrong. It's not the truth. Once you say, and there was quite a few that raised their hands a few minutes ago, once you say to the Lord, here I am, use me, I can assure you that the doors are going to open, the opportunities are going to be there for you to serve the Lord. I guarantee. There are abundant opportunities right here at Victory Christian Fellowship to get plugged into the children's and youth ministries, outreach ministries, visitation ministry, Victory House ministry, Gateway ministry, prayer ministry, just to name a few. There's places for you to get plugged in, folks. All you got to do is say, here I am. Use me. There's outside opportunities, outside of the church, for all kinds of callings that the Lord may lay on your heart. And the pastor has said before, if there's a new ministry that you feel the Lord is leading you to start at VCF, come to Him, tell Him what it's about, give Him an opportunity to pray about it. But be ready, because if He says it's okay, you're in charge. Surrender totally to the Lord and you will see all kinds of doors open to you. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. He will open the doors. You don't have to go hunting for doors. God's going to open them for you. And I can give you some examples that I'm going to, whether you're ready or not. It's important for us, each of us, to be constantly sensitive to the leading of the Lord. 6 minutes is all. I remember as a youngster, that was a long time ago. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to be old. Not quite as old as some other people in this room, but I'm getting close. But as a youngster, probably 6 or 8, maybe 10 years old, if you came to me and you said, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you think I said? What? Not a fire truck, no. Somebody else said that. A policeman or a fireman. But I also said, I want to be in full-time ministry. I was young. I remember a time at the age of 16, Mount Vernon Baptist Church in Richmond, Virginia. I walked down an aisle at the end of a service. Pastor James Newman was the pastor. He ended up coming to Lynchburg at West Lynchburg Baptist Church. And I dedicated my life to full-time ministry at 16. I didn't have any idea how that was going to work out. Well, I thought it did. I thought I was going to be a Baptist preacher. That's a long ways from being a Baptist preacher where I am right now. There's nothing wrong with being a Baptist preacher. And I'm not bragging. Please don't take anything I say along these lines that I'm bragging in any way. I'm just giving you an example that God opens doors. At the end of 1988 and the beginning of 1989, God opened an opportunity for our family, us and our children. And Julie, where's Julie? In the nursery. Well, Julie was part of it too. He opened an opportunity for us to be full-time ministry together when we purchased New Life Books and Gifts, which was a Christian bookshop here in town on Wards Road. And as a result of that, we were blessed with the ability to minister to thousands of people throughout a period of 24 years and to build a number of lasting relationships, many of which remain today, some of you in this room. During that time, Bonnie and I were invited to teach in a number of foreign countries as a result. And we have lifelong friends in Norway, Switzerland, and India. When God opened that door, it was the furthest thing. I can tell you what, we had no clue. I walked in the door of that bookstore one night, and the owners of the bookstore at that time says, you want to buy a Christian bookstore? I didn't have any idea what she's talking about. I said, what do you mean? She says, we're retiring and we want you to own the store. I'm not going to draw it out, but God worked it all out, and we had that store open and two others for a total period of about 24 years. We did not seek the opportunity. We just remained open to his calling on our lives. As God would have it, after many years sitting under the teaching of Ken Parrish and studying the Word of God with him, in the summer of 2000, the Lord called me into the ministry of law enforcement chaplaincy, where I have the opportunity to minister to heroes every day. I mean that literally. Both in the police department and the fire department. God is so good. I didn't seek after that position. I didn't ask for that position. Our former police chief approached me with that position. And God honored my commitment to him as a 16-year-old. And he remembered my love for the police and fire as a youngster. I say that. All of that to say this, God has a calling on everybody's life in this room. Think about it. God has a calling on your life. You might say, well, I don't know what it is. You probably don't, but God does. Just remain open. Just be, as one of my friends would say many years ago, Mickey Brooks, be prayed up and studied up all the time and be ready to serve the Lord. And the doors are open. I'm going to close. No applause. I'm going to close by reading the first five verses of 2 Timothy chapter 4, which follows the last verses of chapter 3, which we just read, to show you the importance of being ready to serve God. For in these verses, the Lord uses Paul to give a challenge to Timothy, and I believe it applies to us today, and it fits right into what is currently happening in the world. So look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Excuse me. And it says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a charge that he's given to Timothy, but I believe that it applies to us today. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. There it is. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. I didn't know I was going to be standing in this pulpit today until yesterday. He says, be ready. Convince, rebuke, exhort with long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. That's where we are today. That's where we are in America. That's where we are around the world. People have itching ears, but they don't want to hear the truth. They want people to teach them and preach to them what they want to hear, not the truth of God. And Paul is telling Timothy here, and he's telling us now, this is going to happen. But, verse 5, you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. My question to you this morning is, are you ready to fulfill your ministry? Whatever that may be. I don't know how many people are here, maybe 40, 50, I don't know. There might be 40 or 50 different ministries that the Lord has planned. Because there's a lot of folks out there that need to hear the word of the Lord. There's places that you can go that I can't go. There's places I can go that you can't go. There's places, people in your neighborhood that I'll never visit or I'll never see. But you live across the street or next door to them. There's people in this church that need ministry. God has a plan, folks. Be ready to take a stand for the Lord. Be ready at all times, even when it is not convenient. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. It's the last few verses of Matthew. The words of Jesus. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You don't go alone, folks, for the Lord goes before you and the Lord goes with you. You don't need to be afraid. It's not our responsibility to hit somebody up the head with the Bible and try to make them believe what it says. It's not our job. It's our job to teach the word. It's the Holy Spirit's job to draw them unto himself. All we're called to do is teach the word. You think you can do that? I want to spend a few minutes in prayer as we close the service. And I believe that the Lord is possibly moving on some people's hearts this morning. Maybe there's someone in this room that wants to make the same decision I made as a 16-year-old. Many, many years ago, to dedicate yourself to full-time ministry. That full-time ministry doesn't have to be standing in a pulpit, but it can be flying an airplane and being a missionary. It can be owning a bookstore. It can be what I do as a chaplain. It can be, there are chaplain positions even in industry. There are people who are industrial chaplains, and they go into businesses to be the ministers to the folks that work in that business. There's hospice, opportunities to minister to those whose life is drawing to a close and to their families. There's just hundreds and hundreds of opportunities. Don't try to figure out what it is that God wants you to do. Just be a person who is chasing after him. Someone who is surrendered to him. Someone who truly says, "Here I am, use me." So let's stand this morning as stay in an attitude of prayer for a few minutes. And while nobody is looking around and I feel that I need to ask that question again that I asked a few minutes ago. How many here this morning have a desire to serve the Lord in any way he may choose, and are willing to do what is necessary to prepare yourself for it? Raise your hand. People all over the room. Praise the Lord. All God wants is a surrendered life and a commitment to trust and serve him. Praise the Lord. You know, this could be the start of something big. Because, hey, you've said it. You've raised your hand. Now God will prepare you for what it is he's calling you to do. Father, we come to you this morning. I thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be your servant today. I thank you, Father, for your word and for the conviction of your word as it is going forth. Father, there's men and women all over this room that have raised their hands and they have a desire, Lord, to serve you wherever it is that you lead. So, Father, I pray that you would individually minister to them. That you would encourage them in your word and by the infilling of the Holy Spirit, that they truly can do what it is that you're calling them to do. Whether it be just to be a witness in their neighborhood or at work, or whether to become a doctor or a nurse or a missionary or whatever it may be. A pastor, a youth pastor. Lord, you've got all kinds of plans for folks in this room. Thank you for each one. Thank you, Lord, for calling them. It's your call, not mine. It's your call on their life. Bless each one, I pray. Set our path straight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Let's sing. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Beck. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Okay, you can now lead the singing. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay. In your presence, day by day, till your likeness may be seen in me.